Likely, we've all experienced those times when life seems to be moving too fast. Work is becoming a little busy. The kiddos have countless arrangements, and you feel like a bus driver. The house needs a new something or rather, or the grandkids need attention. None of these things are bad, yet they can pile up. I certainly feel like I get into a rut from time to time where I am simply racing from one task to the other, simply trying to check off the things on my long weekly to-do list. And sometimes, by the end of the week, I end up with more things on my list than before the week started. The race, something that I thought that I could manage, has been extended out to the point where I cannot even see the finish line, or I forget why I am running the race to begin with. There is a foot race in John's telling of the Easter morning. Out of grief, Mary Magdalene has gone to the tomb of Jesus early on the day, only to find that the stone has been rolled away and the body of Jesus is gone. She ran to tell Jesus' friends, who in turn raced to the tomb. In verse 4, it says that the two were running together, but the other disciple, likely John here, outran Peter to reach the tomb first. Some religious thinkers have remarked that this seems like an egotistical or masculine spirituality here, one based more on competition than anything else. Regardless, it does seem weird that once they get there, they're not concerned about Jesus, where Jesus was, but about the linens. The two friends of Jesus noticed that the linens were lying there and that the cloth covering Jesus' face had been neatly folded. But after remarking about this, they just go home. Where is their outrage if they felt that the body of their leader had been taken? Or where is their worship if they believed that this person had been resurrected? But Mary seems to get it. Still grieving, uncertain, but committed, she stays. Her place remains right there, and by claiming that space as her own, she sees the risen Christ, who calls her by name, and hope is renewed. I wonder if the foot race hampered Peter and John's ability to see the risen Christ that day. If the flurry of the last few days, the anxiety of being followers of a now executed man, the uncertainty of what to do next, the racing thoughts going a million miles a minute didn't allow them to pause here and take stock, to see the finish line and remember why they were running to begin with. What do we miss when our lives have become too full to remember why we are running? When every day is a race, to provide our children with perfect childhoods, or ourselves with the most things, or the once-in-a-lifetime experiences that we try to encounter two or three or four times a year? What do we miss when we fail to give ourselves a place to grieve, or to cherish the imperfections of our chancy lives? It's like hearing that somebody we love has come back from the dead, and all we care about are the clothes that they're wearing. And perhaps Easter serves us as an annual reset. For us northerners who have spent so long surviving the winter, it's a time when we can turn our attention to those wild and noble things that bring life. It's mysterious, for we can only speculate on the hows of Easter, as if the how is really what's important. No, what's important is that despite the darkness and the gray, the long nights on earth and the long nights of the soul, the feelings of despair or just apathy. But despite all of this, there is hope. Winter now at last is gone, writes the 12th century theologian Peter Abelard. For the Lord has risen, passing into heavenly joys of life that never ends, joys that do not apprehend troubles, great or small. May the hope of spring, our earth's annual resurrection, bring us joy. May the hope of our faith, one that believes that love and life conquer fear and death, cause us to slow down a little, to take a breath and see the hope that surrounds us each and every day. And may we respond to it by focusing on those people and those places that make the race worth running. Amen.